By a grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one-of-a-kind custom design, gemstone round tables, and conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada. Today's programming is made possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff.
Welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Our producers, Harriet Williamson, Travis Stansel, Jason Croft is at the controls. Tomorrow morning on the program, we'll talk with Roger Lowenstein. He's a journalist with the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. He also writes a column for Smart Money, and we will be talking about his book, Origins of the Crash, The Great Bubble and Its Undoing. Then in the second part of the program, the guest is Graham Robb. He's an award-winning writer, and we'll be talking about a recent book that he's written looking at homosexuality in the 19th century, particularly in Victorian era Europe. The title of the book is Strangers, and it's been getting a lot of attention, and we'll talk about that tomorrow in the second hour. We are here weekday mornings from 10 until noon, and we have 10 different topics every week. We always welcome your questions and comments. This morning in this hour, we'll be talking about the issue of academic freedom. Now, this is something that people on college campuses and universities have thought about, have talked about, have worried about for a long time. However, it seems that in recent years, this kind of worry and this kind of conversation has grown. And it's a concern that's been expressed by people who are students and administrators and faculty, people who define themselves as liberals, and people who define themselves as conservatives. A wide range of people are concerned about that academic freedom, the idea of academic freedom, is shrinking, and it is getting increasingly difficult for people in academic settings to have a free exercise of their rights under the First Amendment. We talked this morning with John Wilson. He has been following this issue for quite a long time. He is, at the moment, is candidate for a PhD at Illinois State University in Normal in the Department of Education, Administration, and Foundations. And he is, in fact, is writing his dissertation on the history of academic freedom in America. He's the creator founder of a website that tracks this issue. That's www.collegefreedom.org. So if you have internet access, you can go there and you can take a look at that. He's the author of several books, including How the Left Can Win Arguments and Influence People, a Tactical Manual for Pragmatic Progressives, published by the New York University Press in 2001, and then an earlier book from 1995 titled The Myth of Political Correctness, The Conservative Attack on Higher Education, published by the Duke University Press. And in addition to all that, he's the co-founder and co-editor of The Indy. That's an alternative weekly newspaper with a circulation of 4,000 that's based at Illinois State University. He is here in Champaign-Urbana to talk about academic freedom as part of a long-running lecture series on the campus called Know Your University. This takes place at the University Y on Wright Street at noon on Tuesdays. So if you're interested in hearing more from him and you're here in and around the campus, it's free and open to anybody who would like to attend, so you should feel free to go over there. Questions here on this program are welcome, too. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Just to start out, I guess people who are in higher education know what we're talking about when you use a term like academic freedom. Although I think even for them, once you start getting into talking about specific examples, people might want to start quibbling about, well, okay, what really is you talking about here? Are you simply talking about freedom of speech? Are you talking about something that's unique to academic environments? What is it? So, I mean, how do you go about defining academic freedom?
Well, there's lots of different definitions that people have tried to do, but basically academic freedom refers to what goes on within educational institutions and refers to freedom of research, freedom of teaching, and the freedom of those involved to act as citizens, that is to speak publicly without punishment and those sorts of things. And so it's in many ways it overlaps to a great extent with freedom of speech. Academic freedom was originally developed really by American Association of University Professors, which was founded in 1915, at a time when there really wasn't those kind of constitutional protections for freedom of speech. And the idea was to create a kind of protection for professional educators, that they would, that it would be the educators, the faculty, who would judge the quality of each other, of themselves, and so that it would not be affected by various kinds of political influences and intimidation, and that that would, that kind of freedom for professors would create the best atmosphere for research, for teaching, as well as to create an atmosphere on campus for free exercise of one's political rights.
So it's not, it goes beyond, partly it maybe has some connection to what people do professionally, what their discipline is, and they're being able to express heretical ideas about geology or whatever it is they do. But it goes beyond that to the idea that it says essentially you should be entitled to your right to express yourself on whatever subject, particularly when we're talking about politics, and it needn't have anything to do with what it is that you teach.
Right. And that's actually been, I think, to the surprise of the AAUP and lots of others, the most contentious issues have been dealt with, the kind of political speech or what the AAUP terms extramural utterances, because, of course, you have to have an academic term for what is political speech. And those have been among the most contentious historically, and even today, those are the most likely to get a professor in trouble or someone in trouble, is the not necessarily what they say in the classroom, which most people don't really know about, not what their research is all about, which most people don't care about, but really what they say publicly about a controversial issue.
And I guess, too, there is also this idea underpinning all of this. There is this idea that says what the university is supposed to be about is open, sometimes aggressive, but you hope also respectful kind of argument about ideas, and that it ought to be a place where you can put an idea out on the table and have a reasonable discussion about it without somebody being shouted down because what they're saying is troubling or not popular. You know, whatever. I mean, the idea is that at least you should be able to raise ideas and discuss them. And if you can't do it at the university, where can you do it?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good summation of what a contemporary view or an ideal of academic freedom is. It often falls short of that in actual practice. But I think historically, that's not always quite so much the case. Much earlier, there was a conception of the university as a place where teachers were supposed to act like professionals, that is, that they wouldn't engage, they would be above politics, that it would be an apolitical institution devoted to learning and not politics, and that it would be protected by politics by, in essence, banning politics from within. And that's been a strong trend throughout the history of higher education.
So people now, within higher education, within universities, have been arguing, I'm sure, about these things for a long time. So these concerns aren't really new. Do you think that is the case that recently, you know, say, who knows, within the last decade, maybe, or a little bit more, that somehow this issue, there's been more contention around freedom of speech, or that more people are saying they think that that freedom of speech, academic freedom, is under attack?
Well, there's certainly been an argument, particularly from the right, starting in the early 90s, about political correctness and basically the thesis that universities are controlled by left-wing ex-hippies, and that these people are imposing their ideology on academia and infringing on the rights of conservative students. And so that's been, for the last 15 years, a really powerful argument that's been going out there. I don't share with that thesis, and my first book was really trying to demonstrate that thesis wasn't right, that there wasn't some kind of new attack on conservative students. What was new in academia, what was unique starting in the 80s and 90s, is that occasionally the victims of abridgment of free speech, particularly by administrators or even by professors, that the victims of these were sometimes conservatives as well as liberals. And that was quite unusual, because for most of the history of academic freedom, it has been the left that has been targeted. And so that really brings up the question now, the conservatives like to say that, well, now that we have left-wingers in control of academia, we need to do something about them. One of those is David Horowitz of the Center for the Study of Popular Culture in Los Angeles, who's proposed an academic bill of rights and who is has been introduced as legislation in Congress. There are various efforts in Colorado and other states and various campuses to enact it. And basically, Horowitz's position is that the university is corrupted by all of these left-wingers who dominate it. And so you need to go to the political system and you need to impose a kind of apolitical university, an unbiased university, so that there is fairness to everybody. And of course, the question that I raise in that is that I really question as to whether Horowitz is really pointing out a dramatic reduction in academic freedom that's been going on, or if he's part of a continuing kind of right-wing attack on academic freedom that's gone on for decades from McCarthyism and early on. So I think the question of whether academic freedom is really less than it was in the past is something of a difficult historical question to really answer. It's hard to compare different eras. There's certainly a lot more contentiousness now. There's a lot more advocacy groups dealing with it, a lot more lawsuits about it, all of those things. I think those tend to protect academic freedom better. But there are all sorts of reasons to think there are threats to academic freedom, both from the right and from the left today.
Well, it seems to me that's a significant point to make, is that people of all political persuasions, as I said, people who define themselves as conservatives, people who define themselves as liberal, feel that they are under attack. People on both sides feel that they are under attack.
Right. Now, I'm a little skeptical about, you know, just because someone feels like they're under attack or feels that their rights are being abridged doesn't necessarily mean that it's the case. I think it requires a little more examination. And there is a danger, partly because in the public debate, you have a great many conservative foundations that are very well funded, that have a particular focus on these kind of issues, that if you just listen to the public debate about this, you may get a distorted picture of what's really going on campuses. If you have all of these different groups, Accuracy in Academia, Foundation for the Individual Rights in Education, David Horowitz's group, Students for Academic Freedom, all of these groups, noindoctrination.org, all of these different websites and foundations that are collecting anecdotes, that are collecting examples, that are providing legal aid to people in trouble, if you only look at that, then you may miss all of these people, particularly victims of censorship on the left, who don't have those same kind of apparatuses to appeal to.
We're talking this morning with John Wilson. He is, as I mentioned at the beginning, he's a graduate student at Illinois State University. He's working on his PhD there. He's writing his dissertation on the history of academic freedom in America, and it's something that he has been following for some time. As I mentioned, he has a website where he catalogs instances of problems with academic freedom, collegefreedom.org. He is the author of a couple of books, including the most recent, How the Left Can Win Arguments and Influence People, and is also the co-founder of an alternative weekly newspaper based at Illinois State University, the Indy, and is here to give a talk on the U of I campus in the series Know Your University today at noon. Questions are welcome. People can help us by trying to be brief, just so we can keep things moving along, but anybody's welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Bloomington, Indiana, to start us off here, line number 4. Hello.
Hi. May I give two examples of denial of academic freedom? First was a denial of the right to make a reasonable pro-life display by the campus Right to Life organization on the IU campus at Bloomington. They had some posters of the results of abortion. And they wanted to post them in a prominent